First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. First of all, he's talking about, verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It's tough. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ, of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So seeing and believing is what I'm going to tie them together. I'm not talking about physical sight. I know Bruce wasn't praying that we would physically see Christ as some religious knuckleheads would have done or would do. But the eyes of the heart, the eyes of faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 again. Thou hast put all things in subjection under Christ's feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he should by the grace of God taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. But we see Jesus. Now that word see is literally or figuratively to look upon. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Verse 10 through 12. Mark chapter 4. And when Christ was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And Christ said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. So what I'm taking this is that a sight of Christ by faith in the heart is equal to conversion. Is equal to, because if they see Christ and they understand Christ, they'll be converted, but they don't. So that's what I'm taking that to mean. Now, we know out of Numbers 21, you can write this down, you have to turn there, that there is life in a look. You remember the serpent in the wilderness. The serpent in the wilderness. In Numbers 21, the people were murmuring and complaining, and God sent serpents. And they were bitten, they died. And God, in his mercy and compassion, told Moses, told Aaron, he said, build this serpent. Look at the very thing that's killing you. And he said, set it up on a pole. And so he that is bitten, was said, because if you're not bitten, there's no need to look. And that's last week's message. You're going to have to know your need. If you have a need, he healed all them that had need. So if they weren't bitten, it's just a stick, it's a pole, it's something, piece of brass. But if you were bitten, you looked, he said, you would not die. So we know from that example that there is life in a look. And he said, the word is behold. Behold the serpent. That word behold is look intently upon or look intently at. To look intently upon. Now, secondly, we know that there's salvation in a sight. Salvation in a sight. For Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 35, we have the example of Simeon. He's holding this baby in his arms, and he is staring right at the child and said, Lord, now let me die, for I have seen thy salvation. Now that word seen is to know. So it's not, I'm not talking about a physical sight. We've established that. I'm not talking about a physical sight. Some of you, I was walking through the desert and I saw this cross and I was saved, or I saw this figure of Jesus, or I saw Jesus in a potato chip and I did. No, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the eyes and the ears of the heart. And that's what Simeon was saying. He was looking at a person and he called that person salvation. There's salvation in the sight of Christ. But the word I've seen is to know. To know. So there's life in a look, out of Numbers 21. There's salvation in the sight of Christ. There's Luke 2. And turn with me to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. There's true conviction and repentance in a clear view of Christ. It's true conviction and repentance with a clear view of Christ. John chapter 19 and verse 32 to 37. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with Christ. But when they came to Christ, to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And he saw it bear, and he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he hath saith is true, that you may believe. For these things were done, all that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, out of Zechariah, and another scripture, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. Now that word look is the same in Zechariah, that word is the same as behold in Numbers 21. And in the New Testament here, this word, they shall look, is gaze, to gaze. And now I'm not talking about, you know, when you're like a kid in the classroom, and I guess that's why a lot of times they don't have windows, because you're sitting there, you're out there, and you're just gazing, you're just kind of in a stupor. No, I'm talking about, sorry. I'm talking about when your wife is dressed up in white and the organ starts to play and you turn and you look and you gaze. That's what I'm talking about. So, turn back with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 20 and 21. John 12, 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethesda. They're coming to worship of Galilee and desired, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. That's what we want to do today. Now they could see him physically, and there's a lot of people who saw him physically and still perished. But none who look to him, gaze upon him, behold him, by God-given enabling, will perish. These are just three examples of the believer's eyes of the heart fully knowing, gazing, or looking upon Christ. Such is what the grace of God in a man or a woman does in us. By faith, we behold him and not another, says Christ, or says Job. I want to behold him. These eyes behold him and not another. These eyes. We desire to see Christ. And this look, this stare, this beholding Christ in his person and work as he is preached among us is the beginning of conversion. It's the continuing of life spiritually, and it's the end of all things Bible. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So when we see him, we don't ever stop beholding him. That's one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. Unto whom coming? We keep coming to Christ because he keeps drawing us to Christ. So in summary, to look upon Christ is the work of grace in the soul. It is all by God the Holy Spirit. It is all by God the Son, securing and capturing the heart gaze, and it is all by God the Father in first electing these sinners unto himself before the world began. But this is all true, but how does it help us today? How does it help us? This awakening act of God, allowing us to see him, will help us in many an unpleasant viewing of things on this earth. Unpleasant. Unpleasant. Every day, we see things that annoy, that aggravate, that agitate. Every day. We hurt. We have compassion. There's that song, Doctor My Eyes. You remember that old song, you know? Is it because I've kept them open for so long? You know, I can't cry anymore. I've seen, you know, basically become hardened. And that's life. That's life. So what I want to talk to us about is these things. By seeing Christ, it may help these unpleasant sights to be not so bad. Now, again, I'm not talking necessarily about seeing your neighbor slip and fall. I'm talking about, well, we'll get into it. First of all, we see and we know ourselves ruined, fallen, broken creatures full of sin and death. Yet, looking to Christ, we see him as our guarantee to mansions in glory. Yes, we see look at ourselves and we're fallen. And we can't, a lot of times we can't help but to look at ourselves. We got this area around us that we are more concerned about than we should be. But that's unpleasant. So you look at yourself and you just keep falling, you keep falling. You say, I should know this by now. I should know to run to him. I should know to flee to him. I should know to look to him quicker. Well, the old nature pulls and pulls. We struggle with that. We see ourselves ruined, fallen, broken creatures, full of sin. But yet we see him, his purity, his righteousness, that we see him, the just, dying for the unjust. And we know we're redeemed. We know whom we have believed. And we're persuaded that he, how? By a look, by a sight of him. Secondly, we see trials and hardships daily. It seems like the older you get, the more you forget. The older you get, the less you have to, you've got to think about things. The situation with my back, I'll walk and then I've got to think how I'm walking now. I didn't have to ever worry about that. I got to think about it because my gait is different. And there's times I'll be walking and all of a sudden I'll catch that and I'll almost fall. Almost fell a couple times at work. And the thing is, I got this tennis shoes on and they squeak, so everybody hears. I never have to worry about picking up my foot and going over here or picking up. Got to now. Everywhere you look, we see trial and hardships daily. Yet when we behold his face, as old Newton wrote, a palace, a prison would appear. No matter what our lot, he has taught us to say, it is well with our soul. That's only by taking a good, long gaze to stare at him. We understand that Romans 8:28 is specifically for us. And we know it's true. He is for us and not against us, though we see trials and hardships with these eyes. And yet, when we see him in the word, we see him in the preaching, we see him in one another, we see him as we fellowship, we get our eyes off of that stuff and on to him. Thirdly, I'm not an obituary person. When I open the paper, some people, when they get older, they look at the obituary all the time. They chase ambulances, they chase fire trucks. I've never have done it, and by the grace of God, I won't. But these eyes see death. Yeah, I know some folks that do that a lot. They run around after ambulances and stuff. I'm just kidding you. But there's a guy that when I was working for Zeke, nice, friendly, gentle man. Worked for Bungie. I'd got the new job. I've been with this company for a year. Right after I got the job, I stopped by to see him. He wasn't there. I said, what do you mean he's not here? He said, well, he's sick. Oh, so he's got cancer. But he'll be back. I went by there the other day. He died almost a year ago. I see death. I hear death. Gone. Neighbors, friends. Look up on Wikipedia. Oh, that actor. I remember him. What? Passed away in 1990s. What? These eyes see death all around us. Yet looking squarely at Christ, we see him as our resurrection. Yeah, we're going to die, but we're going to raise again. Judgment has no more for us. But eternal, he has an eternal home prepared. And that word prepared is made ready for us. That's by looking to him. That's by seeing him. There's a point at which, Melinda and I talk about, the chain moving up like on a Christmas chain. Or you moving up, great aunt, she be nice to her. She may not be here. This may be her last one. Well, then they're gone. Then your mom moves up to that position. Then your mom and dad die. Then guess who's on the top rung now? The scriptures say 70. That's 70 years old, right? Got about 10 years left. Maybe if even that. We see death, but we see him who conquered death. Fourthly, we see all manner of friends and acquaintances that are lost and undone. We do things with them. We go on vacations with them. We do events with them. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. But they don't believe the gospel. They don't believe the gospel. We see all manner. We see with these eyes. It's, that guy, I really have compassion on that guy. And wouldn't it be nice if the Lord would do something for him? Well, when we get our eyes on them, we're like, we just shake our head. And especially when religious people, I get nervous. I even get more upset or more scared or more distraught, because religion takes them away from the gospel, makes them twice full the children of hell than the preacher who's preaching to them. However, beholding Christ, we see that he is able to save them to the uttermost, to come to him, to come to Christ through God. Let's turn to Hebrews 7 and quote that right. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And it's fun. You can joke and you can have a good time with friends and family and acquaintances and neighbors. But when they leave, you think about it. If they don't know Christ, they're in peril and they're in ruin. However, when you think of Christ, He, and He alone, can save them. It's up to Him. Now that word, the uttermost, that means full-ended, full completion, and entire. He's able to save them to the uttermost, entirely. I like that, entirely, completely, leaving nothing left for them or for us to do. Not you look at them and you see misery, and maybe not misery. You see folks that, if they have money and they do this and everything, it seems like they're happy, but they don't know their end. You know their end. And that goes back to the message the other day. Start praying that they would have trouble. Start praying for them that they'd have soul trouble. Soul trouble. They need to get things get shaken up a little bit. My cousin, I make so much money, I never spend it. And my mom was impressed. I said, he's just bragging. I said, let him come down with some disease or illness. I said, that money would be gone. It would be gone in a hurry. And not only that, thou fool, tonight thy soul is required. And lastly, we see Satan railing hard against us and the church. We've been here for a long time. We've been here a long time to be as small as we are. I don't know, is that a factor? Is that a factor? That's what the world judges. And then Satan, he's always accusing the brethren. He's railing against us and the church. Yet, not looking at him, but looking at steadfastly gazing upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we most assuredly know that he has already conquered Satan. Luke chapter 11, verse 22, when that's stronger than he, that sounds like conquered to me, shall come in and take care of that house stronger. So we know that by Christ. We see Christ. He has preeminence over everything and all things, and by him all things consist. No one can rival his authority or his power. But not only do we see Satan conquered, but we see him defeated for the church. Matthew chapter 16, Christ says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church. Not much going on here, but it's going on here. So we thank, bless the Lord, that there's a place, there's a vision, there's an oasis. Now, how much we want to make use of that? You get your eyes on this world, and there's aggravations, there's upsets, there's setbacks. Like I say, you take one step forward, three steps back. But if your eyes are beholding him, he's conquered death. He's conquered all our foes. He's making sure all things are working together for good. He's conquered Satan because he's stronger than him. He's conquered Satan that doesn't have so much effect the church because the apostle said, or Christ said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Matthew 16, he's conquered this foe. Trials, tribulations, the scriptures deal with them too. The only way we're ever going to grow in grace, the only way we're ever going to find, like that song, like a river glorious, the only way we're going to find peace and comfort is by looking to Him and encouraging one another to look to Him. I know we struggle. I know we struggle. I know it. That doesn't change the truth, the blessed hope we have. And these things, they move us. These afflictions, these trials, these hardships, they move us, but just a little. Because we're on the rock and cannot be shaken off. Because it's not my grip upon Him, but His grip upon me. So, I close asking you, and I ask myself and exhort us together. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, who's that? Christ. The Word. Whatsoever things are honest. There he is again. Whatsoever things are just. The Scripture says the just died for the unjust. Christ. Whatsoever things are pure. He's holy, harmless, pure, undefiled, separate from sinners, what Hebrews says. Whatsoever things are lovely. Songs of Solomon says he's the altogether lovely one. Whatsoever things are of good report. Who hath believed this good report? This good report about Christ concerning our sin, his righteousness, his perfections, his substitution. If there be any virtue, he's the sum of virtue. If there be any praise, all praise goes to him. Think, gaze, stare, behold on these things, on Christ. See him in all these truths, here in Philippians 4:8. Be joyful, be content. And lastly, the most difficult thing in the world, and worry not. Don't worry. Don't worry. Why do I stand up here and tell you, exhort you to do? Because I struggle the same. I'm not saying I've got it and you need it. I'm saying we need to behold him. Because these eyes are going to behold nonsense. These eyes are going to behold struggles. These eyes, it's like, why don't you, all you got to do is take, is file that paper and get this thing moving. Frustration, here, left, right. That's just physical, spiritual warfare. But not only is he all these truths, but he's put the armor, the breastplate, he's all that too. But behold him and be at peace and be content with such things as you have. But do not worry. I say this knowing that I will worry. I'm saying this, I know you will worry about loved ones, friends, this and that, physical, spiritual, financial, economical. Yes, that's us. However, he's on the throne. And look to him quickly, continually, and steadfastly. Nathan, would you close this?